Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty. It's time to talk to Paul Dottino, do a little wrap-up on the Giants, and look forward. Paul's report is brought to you by Jaguan Physical Therapy. Get back to the life you love by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. By CSEA Local 830, we work for you. And by Group 4 Auto, 4 is always less. Paul, how you doing?
Good morning. Happy 20, Richard.
You too. You too. Well, in interviews that Gettleman did, and I watched the entire press conference. I mean, the inference was that the Shurmur call came from above, that he might have retained the coach. What can you add to that?
Well, I don't think there's anything more to add. I think he made it very clear, did Dave Gettleman, that it did come from ownership. John Mara himself said at his presser earlier in the week that he and Steve had been talking about it for weeks, and John had said that it was his hope that things would turn around during the latter month of the season, and that potentially, they could spare him. So I think the Giants are being very transparent about the whole situation. It was ownership that decided to pull the plug.
Yeah, and that's not unusual. You know, everybody's like, oh, the general manager should rule and his word should be law. And I can't tell you, you know how many franchises where GM and the owner disagree and the owner gets the final vote because it's his money, right?
Well, that's true. And Richard, let's not kid ourselves. The National Football League is much more of a business than it is a game these days. And there are many factors involved. Obviously, coaches' salaries have exploded and dilated exponentially over the course of the years. So when an owner or two owners pay a lot of money to a head coach, there's a tremendous amount of investment. Not like in the old days where many of the coaches were getting paid a percentage or a smaller part of maybe what some of the star players were getting. Now, a lot of these coaches are probably amongst the top five or six highest paid employees on the roster. So that's one thing to consider. And then, of course, the other thing is, let's face it, again, it's big business. And, your fan base and the image and what's going on, with the whole marketing and business situation with your team is something that's going to be a factor. How much of a factor? Well, I guess that depends on the individual case. But certainly, it's one of the reasons why NFL coaches nowadays are really in a very precarious situation, because if they don't turn things around, usually within 2 or 3 years, they're not getting that fourth, fifth, or sixth year that they might have gotten 20 years ago to try to make things right.
Yep. Everybody points to the Steelers, three coaches in 40 years, the whole thing. But that is really the outlier. That is not the way it generally works in the league anymore. Do you sense that Tisch and Mara are on the same page? I mean, Tisch is now saying, I'm going to get more involved. I haven't been that involved in the past. I'm going to get more involved in the future. Do you sense he feels that things are drifting away a little bit?
Well, not necessarily, because, again, I want to go back to what John Mara said, and he had mentioned that for several weeks he and Steve Tisch had the conversation about Pat Shurmur's job status. And while John said he was hoping things would turn around, it was made very clear that they both felt it didn't turn around, and so they decided to do what they decided to do. So I don't think there is a fissure or a point of contention. I think they simply tried to reason it out logically. John was perhaps a little bit more patient, but ultimately saw that patience wasn't the fix, and they decided to do things together. I don't understand the fissure line of thought that I guess some people have put out there. I just don't see it.
Yeah, well, I think some feel that Tisch might have wanted Gettleman gone too, and Mara didn't want that. But whatever, we'll never know what went on behind closed doors in that situation. Eli has made it very clear he is not going to be with the Giants next year. He is not going to be a backup quarterback. The decision will be, do you play for another team where you have a chance to start, or do you retire? And I don't even think he knows what he's going to do, right?
No, he's on vacation right now. And that'll be probably for the rest of the week, maybe into next week. At some point, he is going to come back up to New Jersey and probably even visit with the Giants. And then, you know, I would suspect, I'm taking a guess here, Richard. Let me make something very clear before the internet starts going nuts. I just know that Eli, when he talked last year, when CC Sabathia went on his, quote, retirement tour with the Yankees, and Manning was asked, when you decide to retire, are you going to, you know, do something similar so people have the chance to applaud you, et cetera, et cetera? And Eli said, no, that's not me. That's not what I'm going to do. And so I think the impromptu celebration that the Giants fans gave him at the end of the Miami game was something that was warranted. It was natural. And I think, As Eli's being so modest that he is, even that embarrassed him. So I don't expect him to make a big to-do if, in fact, he retires, and I'm leaning towards thinking that he will. I just don't see him making a big spectacle out of it. I think it's going to be the kind of thing where a statement comes out and he just says, that's it, I've decided to hang it up. And he does not want to have a big parade and fanfare and all the attention. That's just not the way Eli Manning has operated throughout his career.
Yeah, well, and he likes New Jersey, and I think, you know, he's made it pretty clear he doesn't want to coach. He is not a media guy. I don't think he wants to be on the television or radio or anything unless it's, you know, once in a blue moon appearance. So he will just find something else to do, I guess, is the way it looks like he's leaning at this point.
Well, I think, you know, him and his brothers and his father have the Manning passing camp. You know, Phil Sims and his son have a quarterback camp in New Jersey. And they also travel and do, you know, certain types of tutoring. I think that the Mannings will be doing the same thing. They've kind of been doing it anyway for several years. I just think Eli will devote more time to doing that. And I do think you'll see him still doing a lot of corporate spokesman stuff. He does get a kick out of a lot of the tongue-in-cheek stuff that he does with a number of the advertisers. So I wouldn't be surprised if we still see him somewhat in the public spotlight, but I think it's going to be under very controlled conditions because he doesn't have the want to necessarily draw attention to himself. It's just not his way.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Gettleman press conference. I mean, I watched the whole thing. It was obviously very uncomfortable. The media was really holding his feet to the fire. Unfairly, I think, in a lot of instances. I mean, the whole thing, well, you burned $23 million on Eli, and and then he only played two games before he was benched. And it was like, well, who knew that? Who knew that Daniel Jones was going to be that good that soon? And who better to have as your starting quarterback and as your backup than Eli Manning?
I totally agree with you, Richard. And I think the big problem with second-guessers is that they never reverse the calendar and put themselves back into the original situation and mindset and understand what the logic was and what exactly was lying before the people who were making those decisions at that particular time. What the possibilities and what the options were at that particular time, and also what they were expecting to happen or what the odds and probabilities were and how they wanted to go down that road. Second guessers never do that. They only look at how things went wrong and then slam you for it. So I'm on board with you. Again, we discussed this at the beginning of the season. And oh, by the way, when I said to you I thought it was realistic for the Giants to have a competitive record, probably as close to 500 as you could get, and who knows, right? Maybe sneak in. I know the Giants felt that way. That was the idea. John Mara said, in a perfect world, Eli's going to play. He's going to play great. It means we're doing great, and Daniel Jones never has to see a snap. Well, that probably would have meant the Giants were at least 8-8 or 9-7 and been in the wild card race right to the end of the season. Well, at the end of the year, when John Mara had his press conference this week, what did he say? We did not win enough games with the roster we had. Well, they won four. I think it's fair to say that the Giants front office truly believes they should have won a lot more than four games and been much closer to what it turned out was a very poor top of the NFC East. Heck, they were in a position, if things had broken right for them, Richard, they could have been playing for a possible 8-8 division title that last weekend against Philadelphia.
Yeah, could have been, but it was not. The other thing he was taken to task for was Leonard Williams' trade, and that's a tough one because he could have signed him at the end of the year as a free agent. He said he wanted to see him, see how he integrated into the team and everything else, and they liked the job he did. That is the one area where I might have a little bit of a qualm because, again, you could have waited and maybe gotten him then. And I know that Williams has said he wants to stay a Giant. We'll see what happens.
I don't think there's any doubt that if they re-sign him, the logic plays out well and it turns out to be a good move. If they don't re-sign him, that's where the risk becomes a little bit painful. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? They gave up stuff they really didn't have to give up to do it. If Williams leaves, chances are with the compensatory formula, Dave Gettleman's right. They'll probably wind up with a compensatory draft pick back, which would lessen the blow of the two picks they gave up to the Jets, but they would still be taking a loss. So there is no doubt it would be a bit of a bruise. But the percentage and the risk and the logic behind necessarily going after him in the first place, if he does re-sign, in my mind, it pays off. And it turns out to be a good move because from the moment Leonard Williams stepped on the field, he was the best defensive lineman on the Giants roster. 25 years old, not only was the best lineman they had, but also clearly impacted Lawrence and Tomlinson and Hill and made each one of those guys better as well. So there was a tremendous amount of benefit and gain to be had by bringing him in.
Yeah, and some people knock run stoppers, but they're important too. It's not just pass rushers who get to the quarterback, so we'll talk about that another time. We're out of time, Paul, but thank you so much for joining us and all year, and we'll probably talk to you during the playoffs, get your take on some of the games, okay?
You got a deal, Richard. Always good to be with you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.